We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I'm a Trumpocrat.
That's right.
If I have the ability to vote, I'm going to vote for it.
You cannot make a brilliant speech where they say that was such an incredible, elegant speech if I'm talking about dishwashers, sinks, toilets, light bulbs.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Trump and I... We've had a hell of a journey. I hate it being this way. Oh, my God, I hate it. From my point of view, he's been a consequential president. But today, first thing you'll see. All I can say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be helpful.
Did anyone else think that Lindsey Graham maybe was a couple in last night? Or was it just the craziness of the day? I did not, ladies and gentlemen, as you might know, I didn't crack the microphone one time yesterday. I sat here in my office and I watched the insanity, the craziness. I got very sad. I did an interview with Congresswoman Ann Wagner, who, of course, was in that joint session of Congress. And I think some of you have heard the news bites on KMOX and also listened to it online. We did post that online. I think we might have, it was a real good chat with Ann. We have Congressman Davis coming up here this afternoon. We might roll a little bit of that back. But I don't know where to start. I've been thinking about this a lot for the last 24 hours, certainly the last maybe 15 or 16, and I'll start a couple of different ways here this afternoon. Look, this was not a... Well, it was a surprise to me, the level of destruction and how people got into the Capitol, but you know, I was with my daughter waiting for the school bus with my neighbor Kenny yesterday, and we were talking about this, and I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a good feeling. Because it was set up for craziness, right? It was absolutely set up for craziness. And how in the world the police in Washington, D.C. were not prepared for this, I think that's one of the big questions. Everyone's asking that. We all knew that something like this had the potential of happening. And one of the reasons that I've taken a stand against this president in the past, and I've used these words, he is a reprehensible human being. I've said that many times over the past 4 years. And he is. I think somebody said that one time. They responded on Twitter. Hey, Mark, did I hear you correctly when you said that you called Trump a reprehensible human being? And I said, yeah, mainly because he's a reprehensible human being. Now, you heard what Lindsey Graham said there. He's delivered more for conservatives as a president than most. So that's the tough part. But there has been soul selling along the way. Chief amongst them, Senator Hawley. And we'll get to that in just a second. But look, where we are today is, I think you have four different groups of people in this country, basically. You have absolutely bat-blank crazy people on the right. You have absolutely bat-blank crazy people on the left. And then you hopefully have a bunch of sane people in the middle, including, I think, millions of Americans who voted for Donald Trump who want no part of what they saw yesterday. They're as disgusted as anyone else. So if you voted for President Trump and you're not crazy, then you're not in cult 45. If you voted for President Trump and you never, ever, 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 ever question what he does, his motives, his behavior, and you think what happened yesterday was okay in any way, shape, or form, or you buy into this Antifa BS. I mean, if Antifa was involved in this, and let me just say this, I've seen all the videos, there were Trump supporters that were yelling something about Antifa, thinking they were the ones breaking down the door. Let's say there were, I don't know, I'll just go 20. There's only been a record of two so far. Let's say there were 20 Antifa members out there. Well, they were outnumbered by thousands for the Trump supporters. And if it was Antifa, they must have had the biggest wardrobe and makeup budget in Hollywood history and costume budget. Are you kidding me? So who's to blame? Well, there's a lot of blame to go around. Sadly, crazy right-wing media. Trump. Josh Hawley. I mean, Josh Hawley has to own this. I thought there was an opportunity last night for him on the floor of the Senate to say something here which indicated, look, I lied to you about the possibility of this election being overturned, and this has gone too far. But he didn't do that. Josh Hawley knows that the Constitution afforded him zero path to overturn this election. And all these Missouri lawmakers who bought into it, outside of Ann Wagner, they have to own it as well. So, and this is what's sad. This is Trump's legacy. Not the economy, not two Supreme Court justices. MAGA hat-wearing morons storming the Capitol. Congratulations. One of the reasons I didn't like this from the beginning, some of you might remember, is because we thought something like this, that the blank show would happen. One of my favorite things from yesterday, by the way. I wish I could say this on the radio. And by the way, this is domestic terrorism. This was a mob of people. There's no doubt in my mind these people should be thrown in jail, prosecuted as much as possible. Right? Now, I'm going to say one thing here, and it's probably going to get me in trouble. Is there a media double standard with some of the coverage? Yes. But we'll save that for another day. Okay? This wasn't Antifa. These were Trump supporters who were told for 2 months that the election was stolen and that they could do something about it, and that Mike Pence could do something about it. And then they led them down to the Capitol after the rally yesterday. I got to go back to Ben Sasse. I love Ben Sasse, what he said last night, and I'm going to get to a little bit of that here, Dave, in a second. Ben Sasse is a senator from Nebraska, staunchly conservative. And you know, this is the definition of some of the kooks out there. To be a conservative in good standing, you must believe that the election was stolen, that the pandemic is blown out of proportion, that big tech is out to get you, that, you know, QAnon makes some good points, that the Capitol assault was Antifa, false flag, all that. You have to be a conspiracy theorist to be someone who is not considered a rhino in some circles. Now, I think that those are just the crazy people at this point. I really do. I think yesterday was a turning point for a lot of folks. So we'll see how that turns out. But Ben Sasse, who I think should run for president, said this yesterday. Think about how this all unfolded with Mike Pence basically half to playing the adult. He had to play the adult in the room. And then Trump tweets, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not fraudulent or inaccurate ones that they were asked to previously certify. USA demands the truth. Well, Mr. President, you just keep making things up. We've known that for a while. So, Ben Sasse tweets, I got to find this yesterday. Today, the United States Capitol, the world's greatest symbol of self-government, was ransacked while the leader of the free world cowered behind his keyboard, tweeting against his vice president for fulfilling the duties of his oath to the Constitution. Now, what Ben Sasse wanted to do there is he wanted to call him the P word. I would have applauded that because that's what fits here. This guy's a coward. He hasn't said a thing except for that little video yesterday. So I think a lot of people along the last 4 years have questioned whether or not this is a guy who wants to be president of this country or just president of the cult. Very clear that he's president of the cult at this point. He doesn't care anything about the rest of this country. I think one of the most sad things about this is we are still in the middle of a pandemic that has killed 350,000 people in this country. And if you hear the messaging from the White House from the past couple of months, yes, they should drag his ass out of there today with the 25th Amendment. I'm on board. He doesn't want to be president. He hasn't wanted to be president for a while, certainly since Election Day. Drag his ass out of there. Now, the only downside of that is more violence, and I don't want to see that. So we're 2 weeks off here from leaving office. And by the way, I know the cult doesn't want to hear this, but he admitted, you know, I'm not going to be president. He knew it from the start, but he kept pushing these buttons. And Josh Hawley did the same thing, right? He decided that it was in his best political interest not to support the Constitution, but to run for president in 2024 and raise money. That's what happened here. Same thing with Ted Cruz. How does Ted Cruz look at his own wife with the soul selling that he did? Man, I'd love to know the answer to that question. I really, really would. So Adam Kinzinger, who is the Illinois congressman, is calling for the 25th Amendment. Dave, let's play a little bit of this here.
Sadly, yesterday, it became evident that not only has the president abdicated his duty to protect the American people and the people's house, he invoked and inflamed passions that only gave fuel to the insurrection that we saw here. When pressed to move and denounce the violence, he barely did so, while of course victimizing himself and seeming to give a wink and a nod to those doing it. All indications are that the president has become unmoored, not just from his duty, nor even his oath, but from reality itself. It is for this reason that I call for the vice president and members of the cabinet to ensure the next few weeks are safe for the American people, and that we have a sane captain of the ship. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit, and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily.
See, one of the things, and I've talked about this for years when it comes to politicians, is Lyda Crewson's a perfect example of this in St. Louis. There is no zero negative territory political courage. She has no political courage, and it's sad because her husband was murdered. And you think she'd want to have courage when it comes to violent crime. She has none. There's very little courage in Washington on display. And you have some there from Adam Kinzinger, who's a Republican who, I guess, has decided that, you know, he just has to call it, and he's been doing this for a while here, call it like it is. The other crazy thing about the it must have been Antifa nonsense is that you literally had Trump telling people at the rally to go to the Capitol and basically do what they did. Don Jr. did the same thing. So there's so many, again, there's so many things. You got protesters, I'm guessing, many of whom outside don't want to wear masks, right? Gosh, it might have helped them if they wore some masks inside the Capitol yesterday. Here's Tom Cotton, Republican, also political courage. You had some senators. This was something else that was funny. Marco Rubio did this today. Some people, quote, some, Senator Hawley, Senator Cruz, you had some senators who, for political advantage, were giving false hope to their supporters, misleading them into thinking that somehow yesterday's actions in Congress could reverse the results of the election. Congress can't do that. Nor can they impose an emergency audit of the results. They knew it. Senator Hawley knew it. He misled people about that. So did Senator Cruz. They make the case that this was the only path they had. They had every path they wanted to come on my show, to go on national television, to write news releases, to hold a news. They had all those paths. That's completely available. They are constitutional experts that know better than anyone in the country that there was zero path for them in this joint session, but they didn't care about that. Now, I you know, I don't know what this is going to mean for Josh Hawley when it comes to his political future. I hear some people in Missouri writing him off. I don't think you can do that at this point because you have so many people that support him. And there are people, I've said this now for weeks, there are people that genuinely, and President Trump is one of them, I don't think Josh Hawley is one of them. Josh Hawley is smart enough to know that the president lost this election. I'm just going to say that. I know him well enough to know that he's smart enough to know that. Why he decided to lie to people for 2 months, I don't know. Well, I do know. I mean, that's political ambition, right? We've seen that. But come on. Maybe own it at this point, but he won't do that because you still have people out there that in their heart of hearts believe that this election was stolen without any proof. Gosh, I wonder why that is. Could it be that the president and Senator Cruz and Senator Hawley and other crazy people have been telling them that with no proof for 2 months? Let's kind of think on that just a little bit. 218, we'll take a break. We're coming back. Doug High from the Capitol with all the craziness. Congressman Davis coming up also, and a little bit of that Ann Wagner tape and much more audio from the day's events next on KMOX.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
There is a brand new quote from Senator Danforth in the Post-Dispatch that says, supporting Josh Hawley and trying so hard to get him elected in the Senate was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. Yesterday was the physical culmination of a long attempt by Hawley and others to foment a lack of public confidence in our democratic system. It is very dangerous to America to continue to pushing this idea that government doesn't work and that voting was fraudulent. And here's, I will admit, I don't know if I even thought about this particular angle in my seething anger over the last couple of months about all this fraudulent voting BS. But listen to what Rand Paul says, because he's right about this.
If we destroy the Electoral College, all the calls now are going to be from the left to get rid of the Electoral College. Conservatives will never win again in this country. So we shouldn't be trashing the very institution that has been the way we win the presidency, and the only way we've been winning the presidency recently is through the Electoral College.
Doug High is with me this afternoon. I know you've been on a tweet storm, as a lot of us have, and Rand Paul's right about that. I mean, you destroy... I think the Electoral College is pretty darn important, especially the future of electing people in this country outside of just the representation in California, New York, and Chicago, Illinois. But that destroys... That will help people try to get rid of the Electoral College.
Well, sure, and I half agree with Rand Paul. You know, the reality is Republicans shouldn't depend on technicalities to win. We should try and still win in California and in New York. You know, let's not forget, Ronald Reagan won 49 states. This is possible. George Bush won very easily, or George H.W. Bush, I should say, won very easily. This shouldn't be impossible for Republicans. They shouldn't just be able to give up and say, we're going to write states off, and hopefully we can make the map work for us. You're already admitting defeat if you do that.
Yeah, let's just kind of run over what happened yesterday, Doug, and we all watched this unfold and just in amazement. And there's so many questions about security and all those things, and I hope that they get followed up. But just on the politics itself, and I'm all for, I'm in on the 25th Amendment, dude. The only concern I have is there's no cabinet left because they're all resigning, which is maybe why they're resigning, and because I don't want more violence. But I'm okay with dragging him out of there at this point because he's not doing the job. And as somebody, I think it was Senator Cotton or Senator Sass made the point, look, it was Kinzinger. We've done this when presidents have surgery on anesthesia.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he hasn't been doing the job. And you know, we'll leave the last 4 years out of this for a minute, but since the election has happened, he fundamentally has not been interested in doing the job. You know, we had 3,900 Americans die yesterday of COVID. He hasn't done anything on COVID. We're having problems with vaccine distribution, which we knew we would have. The president isn't doing anything on that. On anything about the job that isn't about Donald Trump personally, he is not interested in. And I think the best course of action is to remove him as quickly as possible.
But the reality of that is a little different, isn't it?
Well, look, it's hard
or maybe
to
not.
Do. And one of the things that we don't know in, you know, invoking the 25th Amendment is, you know, yes, people are resigning, but he also has a lot of acting secretaries. Would they be able to participate or not? I just don't know. So it's a challenge, certainly. But we know, if we know anything, it's that the next 14 days, next 13 days, could prove to be really chaotic.
What did you hear from the folks that you know on the Hill yesterday? I had an interview with Congressman Wagner, who was a bit shaken. I'm going to have Congressman Davis on here in a couple of minutes. But just some of the stories that you may have heard from those members experiencing something like really most of them had never experienced.
Yeah. You know, I had a conversation with a few members who, you know, were shaken. I didn't get to talk to our good friend Rodney Davis, who, you know, had his own awful experience at the baseball practice. But to see him back at it doing the job last night was comforting. A lot of reporters obviously detailed what they went through. I'd recommend Paul Kane's post at the Washington Post, Robert Draper's for National Geographic. Having worked in that building, you know, it's troubling to see it get breached like that at all. And then with the systematic failures from the leadership of the Capitol Police, there are going to be a lot of questions that are going to be asked. I'll tell you one other thing I'm hearing is, staff for Ted Cruz and staff for Josh Hawley are sending their resumes around to other offices saying, it's time for me to get out of here. I want to leave. Now, when I worked for Eric Cantor, we kept resumes and we kept our eye out for good, smart people who were in bad situations. We would jokingly refer to it as the Bachman chief of staff file. Whenever Bachman would get a new chief of staff, well, let's keep an eye out for them because they're going to need a new job in 6 months. Josh Hawley's staff is looking to leave because they are upset at what happened as well.
So I have people here in Missouri because, you know, I reached out. I'm like, what is this going to mean for his political future? I've been told high-ranking folks have told me what he's done. I don't believe that because the one thing that he's right about, I'm not going to defend any of the actions from the past couple of months, but there are millions of people, hundreds of thousands here in Missouri that, Doug, they firmly believe this election was stolen. And they're not wavering from it.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, you know, when you're lied to over and over and over again, eventually you believe it. Look, you know, I have in front of me a mailer that I received three times from the North Carolina Republican Party. It was addressed to my father, who passed away in 2016, that says Donald Trump needs your vote. Well, is that voter fraud or is that bad list management? If I wanted to be a conspiracy theorist, I could say this is evidence of the North Carolina Republican Party trying to, you know, steal the vote away. The reality is bad list management. Unfortunately, facts often don't matter. But I think the challenge here, you know, moving forward for Hawley and for Ted Cruz is they made a calculated decision of let's keep people angry enough that they're going to back us. And they obviously are very self-interested for them, you know, for themselves, Cruz specific and Hawley specific, but they won't get mad enough that something bad happens. They fomented this, and there will be recriminations for this. There's going to be a part of the party that supports them as being the fighters. But, and we've talked about this before, Mark. I've written about this a lot. When I hear a politician these days saying that they're going to fight, what I hear more often than not is that they don't have a plan to win. They just want to show the activity of throwing punches as opposed to actually landing them. They knew this effort would be unsuccessful. What they didn't know was it would end up with insurrection, which is like a word I can't believe that we're even using. Insurrection in the United States Capitol. Way to go, Josh Hawley. This is why your staff is looking to leave your employment.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. And look, I have to be honest about something, though, Doug. So you tweeted out that you're going to be on, and somebody says on Twitter, don't let Reardon BS you. His head was up Hawley's ass for a long time. And I'm pulling it out. Okay. Look, I started with Josh Hawley long before he was on the scene for politics. Okay. He was a professor at the University of Missouri. I liked his philosophy. He clerked for John Roberts. He had an impressive resume. I thought he would make an outstanding United States Senator. I think he's made some bad mistakes and I don't approve of it. So I've been saying that for 8 weeks now. So yeah, I'm pulling my head out of that derriere. And I can't sit here and deny that, you know, I don't think that I empower Josh Hawley, but certainly not on this front. I will tell you that. But yeah, was he an ally of mine on the show? He had the title of the official constitutional law expert of the Mark Reardon Show. That's actually serious. And I would joke around with him. Doug, that title has to be removed. If you're a United States senator who clerked for John Roberts and you know the Constitution, and you damn well know that the Constitution allows no path to overturn an election once it gets to Congress, then I think the title gets taken away, don't you?
Yeah, no question about it. And look, I wanted Ann Wagner to run and be the next senator, but I thought Josh Hawley, an issue, was somebody really interesting to look at and could be a future leader for the party. Unfortunately, the moves that he's made have just been, you know, appalling and completely self-serving. And they've blown up in our country's face, not just his face.
While he may have support of still a lot of constituents in Missouri, one thing, as you know, that United States senators and members of Congress have to do is they have to deal with people in the business community and corporate America. And this is not going to play too well with those types of folks here in St. Louis and across the state. Doug High, always great to have you on. Try to enjoy the rest of the week. I appreciate it. All right, take care. We're coming back here with Illinois Congressman Roddy Davis in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to the news with Carol. Back with more on KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, welcome back. 2:35. Still a lot of audio that I want to get to. I sort of said I was going to play Ben Sasse, and I do want to play some of that speech from the floor last night. I thought he was great. McConnell was great. Lindsey Graham, I think, might have had a couple in the, you know, the dining room while they were waiting. I don't know. He was animated for sure. Congressman Rodney Davis is with us this afternoon with his reaction. And it has to be noted from the very beginning, Rodney, in your situation, and I heard Congressman Scalise talking about this yesterday, is you were on a baseball field when someone tried to shoot up a bunch of you guys a few years ago. So unfortunately, you've been through a few incidents like this. But yesterday was crazy, wasn't it?
Yesterday was crazy. Ironically, my experience on the baseball field allowed me to process this thing probably different than somebody who hasn't been through an experience like that and be more precise and dedicated as to, what the next steps are to get the over 100 members of Congress that were evacuated at the exact same time off the floor. It was a process that many who have served decades have never seen before, and it's one that I hope no one, Republican or Democrat, or the American people ever see again.
So I had Congressman Wagner on yesterday sort of recounting what happened when all of this was going outside of the chamber. But what can you tell me about your experience?
Well, and I was siloed with Ann in a undisclosed location outside the Capitol for hours after that. And, she's just great. And everybody, both Republicans and Democrats, were great together and listened and did what we needed to do to keep everybody protected. But my day started, I was a teller. Being the ranking member on House Administration, Mark, I get to stand up and announce the Electoral College votes, just like Roy Blunt does for the Senate. And I was about to I was up next to do Arkansas, but then Arizona got objected to. We went into the 2 hours of debate. During that time, I was maneuvering back between my office and the floor. And as I went back to the floor for the last time before it was shut down, I saw them evacuating Steve Scalise. And then I saw Pelosi was gone, McCarthy was gone, Hoyer was gone. And immediately they locked down the chamber. And at that point in time, they told us to get hoods out because they have been using tear gas to disperse those who have breached the Capitol. And everybody got the hoods out that are underneath the chairs in the House floor and pulled them out. And at that point in time, you could begin to hear people coming and banging on doors up in the gallery and in the speaker's lobby. And then they decided to tell us to evacuate. And it was a process where everybody was going out one door down one stairwell. And as we were getting out near the end, I was with a gentleman who's undergoing cancer treatments for lung cancer, one of our colleagues. And a Capitol police officer and I carried him down that first flight of stairs. And by the grace of God, there was a wheelchair down on the first floor. And we used that to get him to the location that we ended up being in for the next, I think, 6-7 hours.
Before you heard some of the banging and things like that outside of the chamber, were you aware what was going on outside? I mean, I know that there was a little rumbling on the floor of the Senate where people were maybe looking at their phones, but were members in the House sort of dialed into what was happening or not?
No, the ones debating on the floor were only dialed into what their political arguments were. They had no idea. As a matter of fact, I had conversations with some of my colleagues after I got back onto the floor and showing them what was happening. But I had a unique experience because the House operations are under the jurisdiction of our authorizing committee, House Administration. So I directly went to the Sergeant-at-Arms office where there's large video screens of the entire complex. And I could see on the video screen when the West Front was breached. And I just had a briefing with the Sergeant-at-Arms right before I called you. And they did not think that the Capitol would be breached, even with that breach coming through the bike racks on the West Front. But then it did. And at that point in time, you're in crisis mode. And you just hope you make the decisions that keep everybody safe. And unfortunately, 4 people perished yesterday. And there are many officers that were injured. One officer in particular is in critical condition. And I went to the Capitol floor before it was reopened, before all of us could get over there. And I saw a lot of officers sitting and resting in the rotunda and in Statuary Hall. And I personally thank them all for what they've done.
Well, I got to ask you about this just because there's so much nonsense out there. But there still are people out there that feel like these were not supporters of the president that did this. It was Antifa. It's a false flag operation. How would you respond to that?
Where's the evidence? And if there is evidence, great. Let's make sure we prosecute whomever was there. be it Antifa, be it any other individual who may not even be associated with a group that walked into that Capitol knowing full well that they were breaking the law, they need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent. I don't put a political litmus test on riots. If it's a riot that agrees with a political candidate that I had supported, it doesn't matter. You broke the law. You need to be held accountable, just like if it's for a political candidate I don't support. The American people, Mark, can never see again any other flag being led through that Capitol than the Stars and Stripes. And we saw that. And it's only going to show other groups and others that want to continue to hurt America how to breach the Capitol. That, to me, is the long-term consequence of what we saw yesterday and the failures to protect that Capitol.
You're absolutely right about that, because, look, if you're watching from afar, which I'm sure many terrorist groups and other people who want to inflict damage on this country were, you'd have to be thinking to yourself, hey, why didn't I think of that? How easy it was.
Yes, and that's why I just had an hour-long conversation with the sergeant-at-arms about what is the next step. What do we need to do to protect protect a branch of government in the United States of America? And unfortunately, because of what happened yesterday, and whether you agree with the reasons why it happened or if you don't, we all have to agree as Americans that that was wrong. That was wrong. We can fight a fight on election fraud, but number one, you got to have evidence. And number two, the Electoral College, we were simply fulfilling the duties in the 12th Amendment of the United States Constitution to take electors from the state. And it didn't matter how many times people wanted to object, Mark. It didn't matter how many times. The Democrats are in the majority in the House, and the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, clearly lays out what the process is going to be. And every one of those objections were going to be opposed by every Democrat there. There was no chance any of them were going to be upheld. And there was no reason at all to convince the American people that it's otherwise, which helped lead and foment the disdain and disgust that they had that led them to charge the Capitol and have death and injured officers.
Illinois Congressman Ronnie Davis is with me this afternoon. Your colleague, Adam Kinzinger, has called for the invocation of the 25th Amendment. Are you with him on that?
We're not. That shouldn't even be a subject right now.
Why not? Why not, though?
We're not scheduled. The process itself, we're 14 days away or 13 days away from the inauguration. And any discussion on the 25th Amendment, in my opinion, only riles up the political ends of the spectrum of both sides. The president did what he should have done last night after the Electoral College was certified, as we had to fulfill, along with the vice president, our constitutional duties for the 12th Amendment. The president said, I concede, the Electoral College has spoken, and we will have a peaceful transition.
Yeah, but my concern, look, Congressman Kinzinger made a pretty strong case. You've had presidents go under anesthesia for surgery, and, you know, the vice president has taken over. It became very clear yesterday that the president is not doing his job, I would say, maybe for the past 2 months. So that would be my concern. On the other hand, I agree. And one of the things I said earlier in the show is that you don't want that to lead to more violence. And there is the possibility of that, especially since we have a pretty narrow window here with just a couple of weeks left.
We do. And the next time we are scheduled to be in D.C. is the inauguration. And Congress,
yeah, you're on session right now, right?
We are out until January 20th. And can you imagine? We went to go count the Electoral College to fulfill a constitutional duty that, no matter how many people on our side objected, was never going to have a different outcome other than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being certified as the winners of the presidential and vice presidential election. Imagine if we are going back to Congress, that same building, to vote on the 25th Amendment. I mean, domestic terrorism, foreign organizations, why wouldn't they want to disrupt after they just saw what could be done by a group of 40,000 people?
I understand that point. I do.
That's
where does this leave governing?
That's why I say that 25th Amendment issue is dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Well, I get your perspective. I guess maybe I'm acting a little bit more on emotion. You know, one of the stories that was completely overshadowed yesterday was the fact that now the Senate has gone to the Democrats. So Republicans will be in the minority in both chambers. What gets done in the next couple of years?
Well, there's going to be tight majorities. It depends on whether or not the Democrats get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. If they decide to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, then what's going to happen is they're going to have the ability to pass their agenda. But then the debate comes to the House with a chance where they only need to lose six votes. Are they going to be able to move far left enough for the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars of the world? Or are they going to keep a compromise that would be able to pass? I don't know. I don't know. It's really up to them. But the reason that we don't have the Senate, in my opinion, right now, is because when there's all this discussion about election fraud with evidence that continues to get proven wrong, why in the world would somebody who is not a high propensity voter in the state of Georgia, why would they go vote? Because they don't think their vote's going to count. And that's exactly the reason why Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue lost very close races. That's the danger of talking about fraud and election results being rigged without the evidence that stands up in the court of law. That is what is frustrating to me, because we do have fraud, Mark. We do. I've investigated in my committee. We're continuing to investigate instances of fraud. But when you throw out allegations of fraud and other things, what it does is it stops us from being able to investigate the true fraudulent behavior that we've seen happen in voting across this country.
Rodney Davis, I appreciate it. I know it's been a crazy couple of days, and are you home yet, or are you trying to get home at this point?
I got home. I took the first flight out. I left the floor at 4 a.m., and I was at DCA sleeping at the gate at 4:30 from a 7 o'clock flight.
All right, good for you. Enjoy the week before the inauguration. We'll talk soon. Oh, what time, just out of curiosity, what time do the Raiders play in that playoff game this weekend? Do you know offhand? The top of your
head? Only you would take a serious situation like yesterday and turn it into
a
Chiefs thing. I would do that. I'm glad the Chiefs are playing.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Tyreek Hill, for my fantasy football championship.
There you go. I got to get a little Raiders, hatred in there. 248 at KMOX Illinois, Congressman Rodney Davis.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Well, back on December 1st, I actually remember this. We were on the air, and Gabriel Sterling, who is the head of elections in Georgia, when we were in the thick of this in the aftermath, this was right after Thanksgiving, of course, and there was still all these claims of voter fraud, and the president wasn't going to concede and all that. And here's what Gabriel Sterling said. I remember playing this on the air.
Stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed. And it's not right.
Well, I think a lot of us knew that this could get crazy and out of hand. Some of the people that I've been hearing from on Twitter, they wanted me to talk about Ashley, the vet that was shot. It's a horrific video, by the way. She's trying to break through the window. There's a couple of different angles, and she gets shot in the neck. And I suppose some people want me to be empathetic or sympathetic. My thought would be maybe she should have thought of that before entering the Capitol illegally. And I have a hard time having sympathy for Ashley Babbitt at this point. She was unarmed, right? Is that why we should be upset about that? So were the protesters over the summer in the past 6 years. So, I'm going to be consistent on that. It's unfortunate. I think if Ashley would not have stormed the Capitol and tried to break in illegally, she would probably be alive today. I think she'd be okay. I really do. But you have President Trump encouraging people at that rally, march to the Capitol, take back the country. Don Jr. had him revved up. They found, by the way, two explosive devices at the headquarters of both the RNC and the DNC. Then you got the president saying Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what he should have done to protect our country and Constitution. How's that going to inspire people, right? Here's what Trey Gowdy said earlier today on Fox.
I don't know how reasonably foreseeable it should be for cops that tens of thousands of people are going to be told to go fight, that an election was stolen from them, to go fight, to blame Mike Pence, to blame Tommy Cotton and Ken Buck and
Who's
these
they?
Other Republicans with 100 conservatives.
Who told them to do
did
that?
Did you hear the speech? Did you listen to the president's speech yesterday?
I did.
Then you tell me. Who said that? Who said go fight? Who blamed Mike Pence? Who blamed Republicans? Who said the election was stolen?
Are you suggesting the president wanted them to do this, to scale the walls and to invade the Capitol?
Among my many limitations, Andrew, I can't tell you what was on the president's mind. I can tell you that he said, let's march together to the Capitol. I don't think he marched with them. So I don't blame the cops when tens of thousands of people are told an election was stolen from them, and then they decide to scale the walls of the people's house. I don't blame the cops for that. I blame the people who did it.
Yeah, former Congressman Trey Gowdy, he was on with Sandra Smith from Fox, and I think Sandra was asking a rhetorical question there. She was trying to be she knew the answer to the question. In other words, she said, who said that? She knew who said that. She wanted him to answer the question. So you still have, I think, fewer people than 2 days ago that are going to still make the case for the president. But let's just play this one. Play Matt Gaetz and this Antifa crap. Dave, let's get this in here before the end of the hour.
Some pretty compelling evidence from a facial recognition company showing that some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa. Now, we should seek to build America up, not tear her down and destroy her. And I am sure glad that at least for
one
day.
Yeah, that's enough of him. Look, that was a lie, the whole facial recognition thing. Were there a couple of Antifa people who had infiltrated? Sure. Let's just say, I even said earlier, let's just say there were 20 compared to the thousands of Trump supporters. You got to try harder than that, I think. Second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.